Hello, and a very warm welcome to today's episode of Work Life Stories. I'm Anna Richards, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Rachel Dean. Rachel is a lawyer. She's a senior associate at Shoesmiths, the law firm. And recently, she spent a year in an in-house role before moving back to private practice. And she's kind enough to tell us all about her move and what she gained from the experience with me today. Thank you so much for joining me, Rachel. Let's start at the beginning, if that's okay. What attracted you to the legal world originally, and where did you start out?
Yeah, thanks, Anna. Thanks for having me. I started probably like most, did a law degree at Leicester. Was really fortunate to be able to do an Erasmus year within that. So I was in Malta for a year doing law over there, which was amazing. And then came out of university and decided it was probably the best option for me to try and get straight into the LPC and just do it before I kind of got distracted by things or changed my mind. And I was really lucky to have some family that were able to help fund it because I didn't have a training contract at that point. So did that in Manchester in the College of Law as it was, and then just went about trying to get a VAT scheme or, you know, any kind of experience in law firms in the city. Went through a few of those, had a few assessment centres, which were traumatic, as many people will remember. And then I managed to find a paralegal role, which said that it would lead to a training contract. I was working really closely with a partner in the firm, and I mean, long story short, it didn't end up happening in that particular firm for various reasons, but I then moved with the same partner to a different small firm and did my training contract with them a few months in. So yeah, not quite the kind of usual training contract, I guess, that people go down, but it worked for me and it got me qualified. And then I went into Eversheds as an NQ in the real estate team.
Fantastic. I'm not sure there is a straight route to these things anymore, is there? So how long were you at Eversheds Sutherlands for before you started thinking about the next step in your career, and what were those first few years like?
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably think about in-house and about different things that they can maybe do. Obviously, a law firm is the traditional route. It's the standard kind of work pattern that people fall into if you want to go into law. But I'd always wondered about in-house, and I'd known a couple of people who'd kind of gone into in-house roles who are a lot older than and more experienced than me. So, but I was very aware, and from speaking to people as well, very aware that you needed to have a bit of experience under your belt, because in-house tends to be a sort of environment where you get loads thrown at you and you have to just be able to juggle stuff and know a little bit what you're talking about. So I was quite happy to just stay in Evershed Sutherland and get the experience and build my kind of knowledge bank. So I was there for five years PQE when I was promoted to senior associate, which was amazing and felt like a real achievement for me personally. And it was around that same sort of time that I was approached by a recruiter who, I mean, as people will know, they kind of contact you every couple of days to say, we've got this exciting opportunity. But this was an in-house one, which was just struck a bit different. And I hadn't really heard of property specific ones before. And it just really piqued my interest. So I had a couple of conversations with the recruiter, and it was a bit of a tricky situation because I'd just been promoted and I was really happy about that. And I wasn't looking to move really anywhere, but it was a bit of a unicorn role and just one that actually I felt I couldn't really turn down. So I ended up moving into an in-house position as a property counsel, and yeah, left my private practice safety net behind.
Interesting. That must have been a big decision. You to talk about a unicorn role, an offer you couldn't refuse, really. What kind of factors did you consider when you were thinking about making that role? I know you mentioned that you got a bit of advice from other people about waiting until you had some good experience. Were there any other bits of advice that you were given or factors that you considered when kind of weighing up whether to move out of private practice at that point?
Yeah, I think there were still some people in my legal world who thought I was moving too soon, who thought I didn't have quite enough legal experience under my belt to move into that sort of position. And I was going into the first property position for that company. So it did feel quite sort of serious and quite overwhelming initially. I did a lot of research. I read a lot of kind of articles and viewpoints, quite a few of them on the CLL website. I spoke to some previous colleagues from different places who had moved in-house in the previous years and asked them about their experience. But I think the thing that really stood out when I was having some of those conversations was every in-house role is so different. And I think it, unlike a private practice senior associate role, for example, where yeah, the culture might differ slightly and the team might differ slightly, but broadly, you're going to be doing the same sort of work in the same sort of way with the same sort of client base. So I knew that I was going into something very unknown, and I was very aware that I'd need to maintain all my property private practice contacts. And Eversheds were great at saying anything that you need help with, you know, drop us a line or ask us questions. And I'd obviously made a lot of good friends over the years there. So when I was first starting out, that was really, really nice to know that I could just drop them a message and say, oh, someone's asked me about this, you know, how do I respond?
Sounds like he had to be quite brave. There's a little bit of a leap involved, but I suppose no role is forever, and there's always a way back, which of course you found eventually. So what was it like, Rachel, when you first joined? You knew that there's a bit unknown, and you knew that you needed to kind of get to know the company and get to know your role a bit. How did you go about that? How were the first few weeks once you'd started your in-house role?
Pretty daunting, to be honest. But like you said, most new jobs, I think people feel the same way. A lot of change, a lot of information to take on board. I was pretty exhausted every night for the first couple of weeks. But what was really nice for me was that there was a couple of property kind of surveyor guys. What was the property team, which I was kind of coming into from the legal side. So they were really great and helped me understand the portfolio and the different elements that I would need to kind of get my head around. And then there were also quite a few commercial lawyers in the team as well. So they were really helpful in terms of the company structure and how the approvals worked and who to speak to and what might, you know, be a hold up or might cause an issue around getting instructions, who was good to ask them from. And there was also quite a large construction team because the company that I was with did quite a lot of their own development, I guess. So it was really nice to get to know people who weren't lawyers. That was something that I found really refreshing in the first couple of weeks. And I guess the way that I dealt with it was just to try and immerse myself as quickly as I could into the company that I'd gone into. I'd obviously done quite a lot of reading around what they did before I joined and how things were set up. But there's only so much you can learn before you actually get inside the door. So I found who the key stakeholders were in each of the different teams that I would be seeking instructions from and working with, and asked for coffees with them. I asked for tours of the office space, and then we had a big studio set on site as well, where some of the other teams worked. So I had a tour of that, and I had a tour of a big warehouse that we dealt with. So just kind of really getting stuck in and actually understanding what people did and what pressure points there were for them, what was keeping them up at night, worrying about, trying to just get under the skin of what people might be asking me and what they'd need from my expertise.
Interesting. And out of interest, were you entirely office based at that point, or were you remote?
We were flexible.
Were
So I
you?
think the company, it differed in terms of different teams, to be honest. Some of the teams were more office based than others, but from my perspective, I did think about three or four days a week in the office, and then one or 2 days a week from home. But for certainly for the first probably the first month, well, I was really intentional about going into the
Yeah,
office
I
because
can imagine.
you get a much better feel from people and from the company about how things work and just the different stresses
Yeah.
being in there rather than just being from home.
Just struck me as you were talking about all those amazing, contacts you were building. Of course, you can do it remotely, but so valuable to go and actually have face-to-face time with people, isn't it? So
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
definitely.
And how did the rest of your time there pan out, Rachel? Did you have expectations and did it fulfill those? How would you characterize the rest of your time there? Because I know it was just over a year, was it, before you moved back to private practice. So how did that year pan out?
I think looking back, I think it was probably perfect for me, actually. I think much like most jobs, people go into it hoping that it's going to be for a decent stint of time, especially if it's a permanent role. So I'd expected to be there longer, I think, probably, and I'd expected certain other things to happen and for me to develop in. I think culture and cultural environment is really important, especially these days, and flexible working. So I found that the culture of the company didn't quite sit with what I was looking for on a personal level. Although the legal team actually was a nice place to be. And I think for different reasons, some of the business decisions that I had been told about at the beginning and exciting work that I was looking forward to doing just didn't materialize in the time frame that I was hoping and expecting it to. So I found that I just wasn't really learning that much. I didn't feel like I was particularly developing my own skill set in real estate. And I was able to still advise, and I was doing a lot of kind of lower level work and keeping things ticking over. But where I was in my career at that point, I felt like I was losing a little bit of time, I suppose. And I mean, everyone's different. So potentially someone else could have really enjoyed doing that and it fitting around their work. And, the hours were pretty good and I didn't really have to stay late very much. So there were definite benefits to it. But I was conscious that if I wanted to ever move back into private practice, I probably wouldn't have loads of experience to bring into a role and to say, I've done this and that over the last couple of years. And I was really conscious of that and of not letting myself and letting my development lapse. So that was one of the key reasons, really, why I decided to go back into private practice and to think about a different role again. And I think that's it with in-house, is that you're very much at the mercy of the business and different economic criteria and pressures that are happening and how that impacts the business that you're with and what they're doing. And unfortunately for me, I think there were a lot of impacts on the property side of things. The business was doing really well on other fronts, on the commercial side, definitely. So the commercial guys were fine and they were really busy. But some of the property stuff just sort of dried up a little bit.
Interesting, interesting. So it worked for you. It was a good experience for a year, and then quite right that you were very focused on your own development and made that move. What positives do you take from that year? What kind of skills do you think that you took from the time that you were in-house?
Loads, to be honest. I think whenever anything doesn't quite go the way that you hope and expect on the career side, it can be quite disappointing and potentially a little bit, there's a bit of disillusionment that creeps in sometimes. So I think in the initial stages after I decided to move, I did feel a little bit like maybe it had been a mistake and maybe I should have stayed in Eversheds. But the longer that I've not been there, the more I see the benefit of it, if that makes sense. And I think it's the sort of position that you can't really understand until you've been in an in-house role. So, just understanding stakeholders, understanding how the business works behind the scenes, how all the teams interrelate, how the decision making gets done. You can learn that on an academic level for the clients that you're working with in private practice, but you don't really fully understand the intricacies and the nuances of how that looks from the other side until you're in it. So that was really interesting. And I think it's given me a really unique perspective now that I can kind of imagine, even if I'm not fully aware of what's going on with a client on their side, I can imagine that there's lots of different pressures that are affecting them more than just what they tell us and what they show us through the work that they do. I think it showed me that I can do quite a lot, really, that I maybe didn't expect to be able to do. Because I think as lawyers, once you choose a specialism and once you get sort of a couple of years down the road of your PQE journey, it feels like you can't ever change. And that's you now forever. You're a property lawyer and that's it. Whereas I think because things were a bit quieter on the property side before I left, I was doing a little bit of commercial and a little bit of sort of like low level competition work. And it was really interesting and really kind of, you know, broadened my knowledge and my skill set. And I came away thinking, actually, if I was ever to go back in-house, that wouldn't be so daunting to me, having to maybe do a little bit of other sector work that's outside of my property kind of remit. So that was really good. And I think just getting to know people, just understanding how powerful relationships are actually. And you know, you can be the best technical lawyer in the world and you can know everything there is to know about legislation and drafting and all of that stuff, but if you don't have relationships with people and if you find it really difficult to connect to a client on a personal level and engage with them, then you probably won't get any of their work, because people want to work with people. And I think sometimes as lawyers, we can forget that because we have clients feeding us work. And I think sometimes we can get a little bit complacent in our firms thinking, oh, you know, we've got this client, we've had them for years, and they're always going to be a client of ours. If personnel changes happen, you know, it's not that straightforward. And it's all about relationships. So that's something that I've kind of really taken into my private practice work now, more so than I ever before, to just really try and connect with my client contacts and see them as a person rather than just a work stream. And I've had real success with that, I think. So that's something that I definitely recommend, you know, in for everyone in any position that they're in, just actually try and get to know your clients and your stakeholders on a personal level.
That's great advice. Absolutely. And makes it much more rewarding on a day-to-day basis, isn't it? So thank you, Rachel. That's so interesting and helpful to hear. And then we haven't mentioned that actually you're back at Shoesmiths now and are actually on secondment to a client again. So not a move away from Shoesmiths, but a 6-month secondment to a client. How has your experience in-house helped? Do you think that was quite attractive when they were deciding who to second to start with? And what is, you know, how has it helped? And what are the kind of differences that you're finding with a secondment compared to a natural move in-house?
Yeah, it's really interesting actually that it's come to this, and it's really lovely for me to be back in an in-house role. I'm really enjoying it so far. I wasn't party to the decision making. I was just approached about whether I'd be interested, but I think I would expect that my in-house experience did lend itself to the consideration that the partners had for who to send, amongst other things. And it was interesting because when I first met the stakeholders who I'm working with, they were sort of quite quick to say the office is different to the Shoesmiths one, and there's not as much resource and there's not as much support because it's not a legal business, it's focuses elsewhere. So the legal support is a function rather than the main the main event, so to speak. But I was already aware of all that, and I'd already been in a position where I didn't have any resources and I didn't have any support, and I had to kind of, you know, do simple things like draft my own letters and print them and send them myself rather than having a PA to do it for me. So I think just that level of expectation and knowing how it's different to private practice was quite reassuring for them. And it certainly wasn't a shock to the system for me. So that was probably quite helpful. I think, yeah, it's really reiterated, I think, what I said about the relationship point. The client that I'm with has a panel of firms, of which we're one. And I think in that scenario, which is common for a lot of the bigger, you know, big clients across the country from a private practice perspective, it creates quite an interesting dynamic, because you've got all these firms that are having to work together and cooperate, but actually there is still that competitive aspect to it in terms of the instructions that are given out and the fees and who's you know, providing the best advice that hits the spot and lands with the people that it needs to, who's providing training that is really helpful and in informative for their teams, their stakeholder teams. So I think it's a lot of what I sort of learned and picked up and was thinking about already from my in-house role before has really come to play again this time round. And I guess I'm doing a lot of the same things that I did before. I've tried to email all of my key stakeholders, you know, I've set up some calls with some of the other in-house lawyers just to say hello and get to know them and ask about their experience of the business and just really throw myself in. And like before, there's been quite a few things where I've never seen it before or I haven't come across it in this particular format. So it's a new learning adventure. So yeah, it's been really interesting to see how some of those lessons that I'd learned from the last time have obviously been good ones that I've learned and have stayed with me to help this time around.
Fantastic. And I can see how it's all adding to your skill set and experience that's building as your career develops. So congratulations to you. Very exciting times. Rachel, just a final thought, really. If I'm wondering if people listening might be thinking about making a move in-house, perhaps they're quite junior like you were when you first started thinking about a move to an in-house role, or perhaps further down the line, maybe they're looking for a bit of that work-life balance that you described there. What kind of advice would you give somebody looking to make that move that you've done once and I suppose partly twice now?
I think kind of overarching advice would be just have a go. You know, I think one thing that somebody, or a few people actually, when I was moving into my previous in-house role, who were more experienced and had only really done private practice, although I think a couple of them had maybe done secondments early in their careers, they were very quick to say, you might not be able to move back into private practice and it might not work, and just be aware that this is potentially hindering your career prospects going forward. And I don't think that that's true or accurate, actually. And certainly from the in-house contacts that I've made since I moved back, I think in-house experience only broadens you, only expands your knowledge and your appeal to firms and other in-house roles. So I think people should not be scared of making that leap. It is a leap and it can be really scary. It can be something that works out. And certainly, you know, in my secondment role, some of the lawyers in the team have been in the company for 15, 20 years, and they're really happy having moved from a private practice role into the company. So it can be something that you stay in for, you know, the remainder of your career very happily. But I also have friends and contacts who, a bit like me, decided to give it a go and it didn't quite work out, and they did a couple of years and then they moved somewhere else, either an in-house role somewhere other than where they were, or back to private practice. So I think it's just how you spin your experience and what you make of the time that you've done. But yeah, I think don't be afraid that it will be the end for you, because it won't be. And my other advice, I think, would just be to do your research, to read around the issue, to look into the company that you're thinking about, to try and speak to some of the people that work there, if you can get hold of those contacts, to really figure out as much as you can without being there what it's like. I think speak to people who are in in-house roles that are not in the company that you're looking to move to. The CLL team, I'm sure, have contacts that would be happy to talk things through if you don't have anyone in your own personal network that you could speak to. And then just be prepared for it to be an exciting journey. You know, there will be things that are very different to private practice, and you may find that quite a stark contrast. It definitely can be, but there are lots of ways around those sorts of things. So for example, the development side, training and development, depending on which company you're with and how their external lawyers support them, you can always get onto training courses, or they can come to the firm or to the company and offer some training for you. You can sign up to panel leaflets and updates. There's so much stuff out there. So I think there will be definite differences, but I don't think those are bad. So it's just about embracing what's in front of you, understanding how things work from both sides, and being open to being a learner, you know, a constant learner of things. And I think as lawyers, we like to know things. So sometimes it can be quite daunting to think you're going back to the drawing board. But it's just an exciting journey.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for joining me today. It's been brilliant hearing all about your career and experience to date. I'll be excited to watch what's next for you. And I'm really pleased to say that Rachel's going to be part of our fantastic team of bloggers in 2024. So you'll be able to read more about Rachel's career and balancing home and work in our blog coming up from January. And if you'd like to find out more about what's coming up on the Work Life Central programme, please do visit us at worklifecentral.com, and you can stay tuned for more from Work Life Stories coming soon. Thank you and goodbye.